You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, we have a jam-packed Friday episode coming in for you today on the Locked On Pacers podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News. And with me on the other line, my co-host with Indy Cornrows, Adam Friedman. Adam, how are you doing tonight?
We have now done three podcasts together in a week.
The All-Star break is really bringing us together.
I know, it really is, because I don't know why we're doing so many together, but we just have been, I guess. It's been easier,
Or if you count guesting together, right?
Oh, true. Then we've done four. That's right. I've been on the phone with you four separate times this week. That's probably how I define it in my head.
I'm coming. Marina better watch out. Taking all your phone time.
Yeah, I called her probably twice this week, give or take. I don't know.
He's a question, so she better listen to this.
Oh, hopefully she will. We'll see. I'll push her too, but we'll see.
Guys, we have a mailbag coming up later. We got a lot of fun Pacers and not Pacers related questions. We're going to talk about that Hawks game coming up tonight. That's our only game this week, so easy there. We're going to talk about the 10-day contract. We're going to talk about Collison's injury. We're going to talk about the playoff formatting, but we're going to start with the news that one of our favorite wings on the team, Glenn Robinson III, will finally play against Atlanta tonight. How excited are you?
I am lukewarm excited because I'm worried about what he's going to look like. I'm excited that he's back, but I'm worried that he won't look as good as he was last season or on that same trajectory that he was heading towards, which was nothing like out of this world, but it was like solid bench wing, maybe could be starting small forward in the future. And I don't know how this injury screwed him up, so I'm nervous, but he can make that all go away with easily tonight.
That is pretty much exactly the boat I'm in. I'm kind of afraid people's expectations are going to be too high, because that's just not like the type of player he is. Isn't like some dynamic, like blow you away player. He just does a lot of little things right. But I am excited to have another quality wing defender, and I hope he can be 80% of the athleticism he had before, and I hope he shoots the three nearly as well as he did last year. But my expectations are just a regular rotation kind of 3-and-D wing, but I am excited to have another one of those on the team because it's a very useful player.
Yeah, there are two things I'm kind of looking towards just for the next 25 games they have with Glenn Robinson. The first one is how minutes restrictions, how many to let him play, how far does he push himself, because he is in a contract year and it's a big deal. I know he could always sign like a 1-year deal and play it off, but if he has 25 really solid games, let's say even like 15 solid games and a 10 solid playoff run, whatever, 10 games in the playoffs, he could get back to a contract he'd probably be accepting, like an $8 million a year that he would be willing to take. But if he's like kind of iffy the entire time, he might have to play on a 1-and-1 next year. Second thing I'm interested in seeing is how they play Turner, Sabonis, Depot, him, and maybe Corey Joseph together, because those five guys are sort of the five youngest guys at each position on the Pacers and could be kind of the future team. And so I want to know, does McMillan try that a couple times just to see how these guys work together? You know, maybe if they play well together, they become kind of a staple of the team, because you could definitely see, we definitely see Turner, Sabonis, Joseph, and Depot out together. It'd be simply just replacing Bogdanović with Robinson, which if Bogdanović is shooting bad, is not unreasonable to think.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see Robinson with both of the young bigs. I think with Sabonis, the clicking on offense will be cool because he was a good cutter last year, and Sabonis is really whirling the ball around, and I think that'll work nicely together. And flare screens, obviously a big thing for the Pacers, could work well for Robinson. He's a good three-point shooter. Defensively, obviously Turner, you know, as a good rim protector, mostly shot blocking. A guy like Robinson who stays with his man and makes his shot harder, you know, the whole time is really beneficial for a guy like that in saving energy. So really, he'll help both of them just on opposite ends of the floor. And then every other player, it's just a seamless fit because of the way he plays. So that I am excited for.
Yeah, and you talk about his movement too. He is, you know, you talked about a little bit this, how last year the Pacers were just so bad at spacing. They didn't have any really good players to space with. I wonder how Robinson this year will benefit in a team that is like completely designed for a guy like him just to sit in the corner and get open looks a lot. Yeah. You know, he hasn't played with a player like Turner who, you know, Turner last year was a little bit stretchy, but this year he's a much more lethal three-point shooter than he was last season. Depot commands respect like PG used to, and then you got Bogdanović, you could command the same kind of thing if he plays in a lineup with him. So I just wonder how he'll fit in with a better tailored offense to his skill sets, because we saw with other Pacers how everything went up when we got rid of the crappy players. So maybe it'll help him.
Yeah, he was a solid cutter last year off of PG's attention, so I think him and Vic will have the same kind of chemistry this time, and that'll help him out. I think he was like 69th or 70th percentile in cuts last year, which is really nice. I also should add in a huge week for Glenn Robinson, because now he's an NCAA national champion, because Louisville didn't actually win the 2013 title.
But did they give Michigan the title, or they just say it's a nil championship?
I don't know how that works.
I think in football they just took it away.
I think they do just take it away, but they can say that now. They can pretend.
Yeah, I don't want to get too much into the college basketball stuff, but
I don't either.
The funniest thing is just that Rick Pitino has an L on his back.
I know. Well, yeah. Someone dropped that in our Slack that Glenn Robinson III is a national champion. So I guess we have to congratulate him on that. At the same time, he'll be back playing against the Hawks.
That's true. And
ironically, playing against the team he killed on a buzzer beater last year.
That's true. And that was like probably the highlight of last season, really. Was
for him.
Buzzer beater show. Well, for the team mainly. There wasn't really a lot of high moments for the Pacers last year. I mean, there were a couple really nice PG games, but Glenn Robinson's game winner sort of was like at least the one thing I have my mind on less than I can remember the most. Just maybe I've seen the replay of it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Because there's been more buzzer beaters, but Glenn Robinson has one more buzzer beater than Paul George.
Yeah, that was an awesome play, and I'm sure that he'll be asked about that a gazillion times. And I also plan on asking him that if I get a chance. But that'll be really cool for him. I'm really excited to see how he fits in. I know he's on a limited minutes restriction, so we'll see how much he actually plays.
Yeah, you think it's probably 15-20 minutes, at least for the first 2 weeks?
I bet it's 15 or less, honestly.
I would say it's 15, high-end 20 if he's like playing well and they want to let him stay in. But I imagine that's that way for at least 2 weeks, and then
I agree.
We'll see.
Speaking of getting low minutes, the Pacers signed a 10-day contract guy, and I thought it was going to be Walter Lemon Jr., but Walter Lemon Jr. got a 10-day with the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Pacers signed 4-year Mad Ant veteran Trey McKinney-Jones to a 10-day contract, 6'5 point guard, combo guard kind of player, pretty active on the defensive end, had a good jump shot at Miami, had a decent jump shot this year in the G League, but not the rest of his years, so kind of hard to project what he's going to bring, but he looks to be like an athletic slasher and a decent defender who can plug up a few minutes at point guard with Collison out.
Yeah, does this make you worry that Collison could be out longer than we think?
No, because it's only a 10-day contract.
But like we thought Collison would be back by the Hawks game, right? That was
that was the
max. They said 2 to 3 weeks, and that 3-week number was the 3-week number would be Monday.
No, it was February 6th, so 3 weeks would be the 27th.
Which would be Monday or Tuesday. Oh my god, I was a day off. Okay. He was ruled out on that Monday. He had surgery that Tuesday. I'm sorry, I was one day off. But still, my point still stands valid.
Yeah, well, Will Furr wrote a piece that was like, I've never seen a knee surgery be 2 to 3 weeks for arthroscopic stuff. And then look at that. He was right. So, yeah, we'll have to see how long it takes. I usually see 4 to 6 weeks for this. That's what Russell Westbrook had when he had it. So,
but they're saying Collins wasn't as bad. It was just like, it didn't repair anything. It was like Westbrook had the meniscus, at least minor thing. This seemed like he was just like almost like they were removing something, some fluid or something.
That's exactly what they were doing. Little parts, as they call it. But, yeah, McKinney-Jones will be, I imagine, if I had to guess, that he'll get the Leaf treatment and play late first quarter, early second quarter, and then probably not much for the rest of the game unless they're blowing them out. But the timing of signing a 10-day guy when you're playing Hawks, Dallas Hawks in a row kind of makes a lot of sense because you could have some blowout opportunities.
Yeah, and it means we're going to see a lot of Joe Young still.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because that's probably the guy whose minutes would get affected the most.
Yeah. You know, he was okay with the three games, right? It was three games ended
up
playing.
Against the Nets, but he was good at every other game he played.
Yeah, and that Nets game was a weird game, to be honest. It was just the before All-Star break, everybody's ready to go to Cancun game. But I wonder, though, if he comes out of the break playing, like, a little faster, more better, like, in better conditioning shape, at least, because he's had 10 days to sort of work out and just not have to worry about anything but basketball and just, like, working on not playing basketball. And I also wonder how he fares against, you know, they're going against the Hawks, who are not very good, the Mavs, who are not very good, and he'll get some opportunity against some pretty bad bench players, at least.
Exactly. And, you know, 10-day guys are interesting because they're trying to prove they belong, but also prove that they can fit in with the team. So you get guys like Lance's 10-day experience in New Orleans that go horribly because he tries to do too much. Or you get Yogi Ferrell in Dallas, who did amazing on his 10-day. So there's a really wide range of outcomes that could happen from something like this.
But didn't Lance also do a 10-day in Memphis and was
Minnesota.
No, he was in Memphis.
Memphis, you're right. Sorry.
100% in Memphis.
You're right.
He was like decent. I think he ended up having to play more because Conley got hurt. Somebody else got hurt. He ended up being like in the starting lineup almost. But
and then they cut him because of the tax.
Yeah, and it was kind of that moment where people thought, oh, he's got to get back in the league, and right, that wasn't far after the Pacers signed
him. He had at least 2 10-days. I'd have to look that up. I might have said that wrong when I said Minnesota, but I thought New Orleans was one of them for sure.
He might have. He was bouncing around this league forever last year, basically.
So he had 26 games in Memphis. So his 10 days were with Minnesota and New Orleans.
Okay, I think Memphis started on a 10-day, then got.
Maybe that's what it is.
Kept extending or however it works. I think it started as a 10-day.
That is right, because he got waived by the Clippers that year. All right. Yeah. Ooh, what a year.
Yeah, because injuries to Memphis, so.
Yes, wasn't having but I think it's time for the mailbag. What do you think?
I think it's time.
Our first together mailbag. I'm excited for these, and Adam doesn't know the questions. Well, doesn't know all the questions.
I don't know any of them, and I'm going to just answer them off the cuff is my plan right now.
So I'm going to ask him, and I want you to go first, and then I will interject anything that I disagree with or if I have a different answer.
Okay.
So the first one comes, well, Matt Brin asks two questions, but we'll ask them in the order I have them screenshotted on my phone. But number one is from Matt Brin at Matt Brin one. Oh gosh, did I say that wrong? It's B-Y-R-N-E. How would you say that last name?
B-Y-R-N-E.
Byron?
Byron? I don't know.
Matt, we're sorry.
Yeah, please, tell them to tweet it out there.
The pronunciation of your last name, and we will say it on at least two more podcasts.
Yeah, we'll say it on our next one. Apologizing.
At Matt, how I just spelled his last name one, says, if you were Kevin Pritchard, what would you do this offseason? Also, what is the best game you have both watched live?
All right, so I'm going to go reverse. Start with the bench. So for this season, Tony and I went to that Toronto game over Thanksgiving. I don't know if Tony's been to a better game, but that game was awesome. It was Lance just doing amazing things. It was a game we both went to, like, lukewarm. They were going to win. We're like, eh, they have a shot. Home game, but Toronto's really good. And Lance just killed it out there. It was awesome. But the best game I've been to, Pacers overall, in 2012, I went to the Miami Heat Pacers game 3 of that second round series, where the Pacers just destroyed this LeBron D Wade team. It was like the moment where I thought for a second they might be better than LeBron Wade, because Bosch was hurt and it was like a big deal. And then, of course, 3 days later, they had the extra day off and the Heat won. But that was the best game I've probably ever been to.
Mine this season is the same as yours, although I was also at the Spurs game. So both of those were awesome for different reasons. That was kind of the start of the Vic rising at the Spurs game, but Lance was awesome in the Pistons game, Raptors game. Sorry. So tough to decide, but my number one of my life was on my birthday, actually in 2007, Jamal Tinsley game winner against the Spurs to end a Spurs 6-game winning streak, 199. Still remember it like it was yesterday. It was awesome.
Yeah. I forgot I went to the Spurs game. I actually forgot about that. It was so long ago that feels like it wasn't this season, but that really was like the third game of the year.
So for a while, I had a good streak because I went to Brooklyn, which has scored 140, Detroit, awesome comeback, Raptors with you, awesome comeback, Spurs. You know, it was a good run for a while for me. It was cool.
Yeah, and then you went to one. What losing game did you go to recently? You didn't go to the Boston game, did you?
I went to the Wizards one recently. I went to the Knicks recently. Mavs. I've been to quite a few. But my best is the Spurs and the Raptors this year.
Yeah. So then what was the first question?
Kevin Pritchard, what are you doing this summer? Outlined that on today's, though.
Yeah, so we're recording on a Thursday. That's why I said today.
Sorry.
I'm just going to do like a real quick just what I would do. I would choose between Joseph and Collison and Bojan and Robinson. Pick one out of those combinations, and I would probably lean towards Robinson and Joseph and try to build a 5-man lineup for the next 3 years around Joseph, Robinson, Depot, Sabonis, Turner as like your future cornerstones. Obviously, you can try to upgrade at certain spots, but those are your 5 guys for the future.
Similar decisions for me between Collison, Joseph, and then Bojan and Glenn. Depending on the amount of cap space they have, I either try to throw a 1-year really expensive deal at either a wing or a point guard to punt on cap space until next year, or if I have a lot more than I thought, try to build the team now. But it really depends on what Thaddeus Young does is how my decision operates. Something like 1-for-15 for Trevor Ariza or something like that. But we'll have to see. Once Thaddeus Young makes his decision, we'll do an immediate podcast most likely.
Yeah, he'll make I imagine we both think he's going to opt in. It's too much money for him not to unless he opts out and gets guaranteed like a 3-year, $30 deal by the Pacers.
Yeah,
only way he opts out.
And I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I would too. He has some value off of the bench for sure. And as long as he keeps kind of, even if he lost a little bit of the way he is right now, just slightly, he'd be fine. He would still be fine off the bench, at least at $10 million a year.
And I don't think he'll age too poorly.
No, he's not the kind of guy that relies on some superb athleticism.
Right.
He is really just like.
But he is sneaky.
Yeah, and he's strong, but he's not like the kind of guys who would fade, like his speed, and he's kind of like reminds me of more like a David West, where he can keep doing it because you just can stay strong enough to kind of keep competing as a power forward at least.
Exactly. So his decision is very hingy on that answer for me, but there's a lot of options, and I think we'll know better answers closer to, but that's my blueprint for now. Question two is from Marina, who you guys know from being a guest on this podcast. She is at Marina Higuera, if you want to go bug her.
Don't follow her. No, I'm kidding. You can. It's a joke.
Wow.
She doesn't need more followers. She has like I think 500-600 followers at least.
You put my name in the question, but I'm going to ignore it and skip it and just say, what has your worst podcast experience been?
Well, there was one time I coughed on a podcast and then couldn't speak for a minute. That was pretty bad.
I'm going to go with my worst experience. I have two, actually. Was the time you sounded like Bane and it freaked me out.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. When I coughed and couldn't talk, that was really funny.
Scared me. It was funny for you. I was like trembling in my chair for some reason. I thought you were like getting punched or something. It was scary. The other one was I went out the night before and I wasn't feeling very great. This was pretty recent, actually. And I texted Adam in the middle of the podcast and said, keep talking for a long time. And I went to the bathroom while we were recording.
Yeah, there's been a couple times where Tony's had to like pee mid podcast, so he just tells me just keep talking, and because he has his bathroom is near his room, so he can hear me talk while he's peeing. Those are like awkward moments, but overall, most with you at least, I haven't really had that many. I haven't had a bad podcast, except I think that wasn't caused by me doing something stupid.
It's all my fault.
Like one time I exited out of our stream by mistake, like just randomly, couldn't tell you why I did it, just like subconsciously did it. So that was like a bad, but you covered for me, so it worked out.
It is what it is. We're hanging in there. The next question is a Fortnite question. I think you're out, aren't you?
I do not play Fortnite. My roommates play Fortnite. They love it. Well,
Jordan Brandenburg, one of our first Twitter fans. Love Jordan. JB Guitar 2196 asks, Pleasant Park or Greasy Grove, Tactical or Pump Shotgun, Impulse Grenades or Boogie Bombs? A lot of good Fortnite questions here. My favorite place to drop, obviously, is Tilted Towers because it's fun to just actually get kills right at the start of the game, even though you're probably going to die quickly after. Between the two you asked, I will definitely pick Pleasant Park. Pump Shotgun every time. Love that it does more damage, and definitely Boogie Bombs. Easier to kill people who can't fight back, but I love the hilarity of Impulse Grenades. Adam, you should definitely play Fortnite. It's incredibly fun and addicting.
The thing is I am just not a big video game person. I like a little bit of 2K and Madden here and there, but I just don't like playing video games that much, and maybe that's why I have a girlfriend and you don't. Sorry, that was mean.
Wow, I'm retiring.
That was mean.
So me and my friends didn't play a ton of video games until Fortnite, and now we're like bonding over it again. We used to play a bunch in high school.
No, that's in your defense, that's good because you graduated from college and you.
I don't play by myself.
No, I don't. I understand that. I just mean like when you graduate from college, you have friends and you split apart because you all go different places. So it's a good way for you guys to bond. I'm sure once I graduate college, that if I want to, my friends are playing some video game, it's big. I'll play with them because it's a good way to kind of get back together again. Because for right now, mainly my friends. From high school, at least the way we bonded, we play fantasy basketball, but like that's kind of a game in its same sense. So
unbelievable that you threw the girlfriend card at a Fortnite question.
It's more because I saw this Barstool thing that talking about how
I was a funny video. I saw that too.
Yeah. Something about how girlfriends are pissed. Everybody, all their boyfriends are playing Fortnite forever. So I thought I'd throw it out there. It wasn't meant to be an insult to anybody out there who likes Fortnite. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's fun.
Oh, there's another Fortnite question in the next question, but it's mostly Pacer stuff. So don't worry.
Well, I'm only answering Pacer stuff.
We got a Colts fan Ryan here. Slash he changed it to Pacers fan Ryan for a little bit, but now he's back to Colts fan Ryan. I hate that I know that. This is a, I believe, four-part question. Number one, what is Oladipo's ceiling? Two, is Oladipo good enough to be the number one option on a championship team? Three, what are the most important things Miles needs to do to improve and take the next step on becoming a number two option? And four, when are we running Fortnite? For the last one, just DM me. Me and Ryan Eggers play all the time.
Okay, so I got it. It's Oladipo's ceiling. Can he be the number one on a championship team? And then
probably.
Turner. I got it.
Growing into a number two option.
Okay, so let's start with Oladipo's ceiling.
Top five player in the league, probably.
Yeah, he'll be 26 on May 4th. I only know that my birthday is May 5th, and it's one day before. That's why I know it.
2 years of growth is tough because like prime age, if he's 27, 28, like it's not like he can get so much better, but he's like what, top 15 now? So maybe top five.
Yeah. I mean, if this season is where he's going to be the next three seasons, he's a top 15, top 20. He's probably going to maybe make an all NBA team. He's going to come close. There's a lot of good guards in this league.
Yeah.
He'll come close to an all NBA team, but his ceiling might be just because of the way the age is working out with some players and the way some of the stars are kind of overrunning each other on teams, might be at a time looking like a top 10 player. I don't know if top five, I go that high. It's hard for guards to break in even to the top five. I mean, on most, like right now, the best five players in the world, if Kawhi was healthy, is probably Kawhi, LeBron, KD, Steph, and Harden. And Harden's not really a guard size. He's like 6'8 almost.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Steph's the only one, and Steph's got a, such a unique. I mean, even Westbrook, when he was MVP last year, but I wouldn't say he was one of the top, maybe he was number five, but he was not top three player in the league. Like, you would never say, I want Westbrook on my championship team. You would say you want Durant, LeBron, or Curry, probably.
Right. Yeah. And that kind of blends in with the can he be a number one option on a championship team. I think, like, you look at the 04 Pistons or like the 2011 Mavs, and like, yeah, like technically, but they'd have to have built a really nice roster around him. But if they had one other guy as good as him, you know, that would make more sense. Maybe like a 1A, 1B, but I don't think just number one, especially in the current climate with Golden State, that he would be good enough.
So you flipped that. You said 04 Mavs and 11 Pistons, by the way.
Sorry.
04. No, I just thought it was funny. So I actually think an 04 Pistons scenario was likely in, let's say, 3 years, give or take.
I agree.
Which means that's where the Pacers should be going for. We talked about this in our podcast that posted on Thursday. There, you know, I think he can be a one because I think you can build a team like, you know, he'll be a one the same since Chauncey Billups was a one.
Right.
On that Pistons team. Where I would say Rip Hamilton was also basically 1A or 1B. Rip Hamilton was awesome. I mean, Tayshaun Prince.
Like that team was like Chauncey Billups one and then everyone else was a two. You know, they didn't have like a three.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought Rip Hamilton was the number one just offensively, but I think in hindsight, it was more Billups, but at the time, it felt like Hamilton, at least at the time. But I was young when I was watching those teams, and I had this impression that it was him and Reggie going against each other always, which really wasn't the case back then. But I think he could definitely be a one in the sense that Paul George was the one on the 2013 Pacer team. I mean, if that Pacer team, if the Pacers built a team like that 2013 team in 2020, that team might win a championship. I mean, that team in 2013 was good enough to win a championship. They just ran into LeBron, who was the greatest or second greatest player of all time. Like, that's sort of was the issue. But if LeBron's no longer in the league and there's nothing, there's no that next player. I mean, Giannis could be, but Giannis has nobody around him. So that kind of 2013 team translated to 2020 could be good enough to win it. Could be where he did was a one and the team with a championship.
Yeah, that's probably the way it happens. And I can totally foresee it. That's actually good. That was a pretty good question. But it's like, it's hard if he doesn't improve at all. You know, like those two questions kind of blend together.
And the thing is, I think he will continue to because he has shown, he's sort of shown people that he has this like desire, you know, he can change his body in one offseason. He can work on something an entire offseason and get better. I mean, it's the same way LeBron kind of was that way even in his late 20s. You know, LeBron like jump shot was broke for his 2011 season and he got it back in 2012 and 13. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, Oladipo's reached a stage where his body is now where it needs to be. Now it's working on like one piece of his game to get better. You know, it's whether it's working on just becoming a 40% three-point shooter, which would elevate him to an unreal level or something like that. You know, that's what he has to work on, which he's shown he has a work ethic for at least.
What about Turner becoming a number two option?
This is why I'm more bullish on just because I haven't seen it yet. You know, Turner so shines of being like a number three option and being, you know, he's extremely young, so you have to take that in, but he hasn't really shown any signs of like he's going to be a dominant offensive player. And that's really the only way you get to number two.
The thing is, like, another part of this is, like, what's the point? If you have a guy like Collison who's a solid number two, you don't need Turner to do it.
Yeah, but Collison's not going to be around in two seasons.
No, I know. I'm 30 years old. Replace him with is what I'm saying, with another number two.
Yeah, but then you look around the league is how do you find that? I mean, Collison was like, you basically pulled the 20th best point guard per se going in the offseason and made him a top 10 point guard. That's basically what happened, theoretically. And that's something that just doesn't happen all the time. And maybe the Pacers can do it. They like to find diamonds in the rough, but that's rare. I just think for Turner to, I mean, maybe even Sabonis becomes the number two scoring option because he's, I think, actually a more pure scorer. Like, he can just, you know, go 7 of 9. He can go 10 of 12 a game. I know Turner's done it, but I just don't trust Turner as much. But maybe he can get there. I mean, you know, Turner's also really young, and he has lots of room to grow. And maybe it comes to him eventually. I mean, some guys develop, you know, into awesome offensive players. Eventually. I mean, a post-game returner takes him to an unreal level.
Yeah, or like being a good passer out of the post so they have to, you know, like lay off a little with the doubles in the post, things like that. Just little intricacies here and there could help because he's already solid.
Yeah, and he would be really – if he could figure out how to pass out of the post, he would be almost unstoppable because he has the height and like the arm length to basically keep the ball up high where he could like touch pass it in and out like kind of the way Sabonis does sometimes. So he has that ability. It's just about executing it in the offseason and working on it, which he seems to have a desire to become one of the best players in the league. So – you know, that's what you all can ask for right now.
Yeah, I think it's certainly possible. That was a good question. That was a lot of good questions. And again, running forward, just DM me. The next question is a text. I'm not going to say who it's from, but this person knows who they are. And it's a funny kind of joke, but I want you to respond to it.
All right, let's hear it.
Spin zone. Kevin Pritchard is a genius for missing on TJ leave because it protects the future cap space.
So you want me to spin it?
No, I want you to react to that genius Kevin Pritchard move.
No. If Kevin takes OG Anunoby, this team has got a different ceiling in the next 3 years.
Hey, he's just saving the cap space. You know, we're not going to pay Leaf that much. It's perfect.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Moving
just,
on.
No, just think about it. If they take OG Anunoby, who was available for the taking in that spot.
Oh, I know. He would have been better.
This team is like looking like, oh my God, they've got two young small forwards in Robinson and OG. They got, you know, they got the young Sabonis. I mean, they literally have a guy at every spot who's under a point guard and under 25 or under like 22. They have three guys under 22 that are like could be really good players.
Yeah.
He screwed that up. But over, I mean, you can't hit on every. I mean, it's hard to hit on draft picks. I bet he's flipping a coin. I mean, and we all could be hitting a Leaf right now. He could become a great offensive player in two seasons for all we know.
I'm actually writing about TJ Leaf, so go read it. Yeah, he's got improvements he can make.
And like you just can't judge a 19-year-old. It's hard to. I mean, really, Mitchell and Kuzma are both 21 and 22. That's why they look better than most of the rookies. Even yeah. Simmons is 20 something years old. So like there just aren't a lot like of the 19-year-olds in the NBA right now. I mean, there's none look that great yet. But Tatum, I guess, is the only one, but he's also hit a wall recently.
Yeah, that's true. All right, here's another one from the same person. How many games will Ben Moore play in before he takes his first field goal attempt? And then follows up with just filling up the mailbag with questions people are dying to hear. Ha ha.
I have no idea. This is your complete realm of
two games, 9 minutes, no shots. I like that kind of because the way Ben Moore is wired is just to be a guy who makes like positive plays and is in the right place. And him proving he belongs is like not him showing that he can score, but him showing he can do the little things. So I kind of like that he hasn't taken a shot yet, but I don't know when he's going to shoot. It'll have to be like a garbage time thing when he's actually playing. And with the bringing on of Trey McKinney Jones, I think they'll use him less. So who knows?
Yeah. I don't.
And Glenn Robinson's return, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know if we see even Ben Moore playing a game.
Yeah. I think he might be done.
So
he might be done. Okay. Well, I'll admit that both of those questions are for my brother-in-law. Hi, Patrick. Thank you for the fun questions. I enjoyed those.
What's the Twitter handle?
He used to have one. He hasn't tweeted in a long time.
Does he have an Instagram handle or something?
Man, I don't know. He doesn't have an Instagram. He might still have a Twitter.
Don't worry about it.
These are the important things.
Don't worry about it. He knows who he is.
Okay, he knows who he is. Next question from our old friend Matt Byron / Bryn, who I screwed up earlier. He says, I got one more. Not sure if either of you are into esports, but do you like the NBA 2K League starting this year?
You know, I keep hearing esports is the future, and I don't get it, but people love it.
I'm not into it at all.
Yeah, people think it's like, oh, there's like the future of like sports owning and stuff like that. I'm like, I mean, like, I think I'm like, we're pretty young people. You and me, we're 20 and 22. We're young guys. We're like kind of the future of, and like, I don't know anybody. Like, do any of your friends just watch esports? Like,
no.
Is it like a 12-year-old thing to do, and they're gonna like when they grow out of it, kind of thing? Like, I don't think people just want to watch people play sports, but play esports. I mean, I don't. But
more maybe. Power to them, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's the 10-year-old generation that all wear Steph Curry jerseys and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I like playing 2K. I'm not good enough at it to do esports. I don't like. I like that the Pacers are keeping up with trends. If that is an answer, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, but I honestly just don't get esports at all. Yeah, but
me neither.
I like real sports. I like watching the best athletes in the world go against each other. That's why I like the NBA. I think it's the best athletes in the world playing on a playing field that just lets them show off their best attributes.
Why they're the best. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. We're back to real questions about basketball.
Good. I'm sick of these.
Tyler Keene at Converse 3223 asks, what dark horse teams do you think could make a step up in the back half of the season and possibly make a playoff run?
Utah Jazz, but that dark horse anymore?
It's a good answer. They're the 10 seed in the West, so it sounds like a dark horse.
They won
11 in a row.
I'm going to look up the NBA standings real quick so I can
remember. Aren't they 10th? They might be 9th, but right there. So mine will be the Charlotte Hornets for the Eastern Conference. 24 and 33. They're only 5.5 games out. They're the unluckiest team in the NBA by a substantial amount. If they can figure it all out and get a nice run going to close the season, they could possibly close in on the 8 seed. The question is dark horse. Like, there's a possibility for it. And I think that, you know, with the Pistons getting Blake Griffin, they're being looked at as a threat to sneak in. But I think the Hornets probably are, I would say they still have like a 1 in 5 shot if things break their way.
So can I reverse this and say one team I think that's in the standings that might fall actually out of the playoff race?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. So you look at the Western Conference.
Are you going to say New Orleans?
No, actually, I wasn't. I was going to say, if you look at it, the Spurs and Timberwolves are only 3.5 games above the 9-seeded Clippers. And then the Jazz are
falling out.
No, I didn't say the Spurs, but I'm saying something to watch is the Spurs, Timberwolves, Thunder are three teams who definitely think they should be competing maybe for a championship that are barely in the playoffs right now. I mean, they are fighting off five teams. Basically it's 16, it's eight teams beating for six spots. So I was one of those teams. Spurs, Timberwolves, Thunder could, if they go on, they hit like a rough patch. Like, it's not out of this world that the Thunder hit some rough patch, somebody gets hurt, or, you know, Timberwolves, Butler gets hurt for a 2-week stretch. They kind of start to fall back to the path and end up like an 8 seed in the playoffs.
So I think that the Boogie injury makes New Orleans one of the two teams that's out there. And I think
Davis is, I mean, he's again, the same issue. If somebody gets hurt, Davis gets hurt, yeah, they're screwed.
Yeah. And then the Clippers seem like the other one to me, but that's tough because the Jazz stunk until very recently, where they're like the best team. But that would mean that who's the other? Oh, the Clippers might be in the 9th spot. Never mind. But yeah, the Clippers could sneak in. They have a talented roster. It's kind of hard. That's a really hard one to shake out, that West. I think the Pelicans are a darker horse to sneak in than to not make it.
I'm thinking of just like a scenario where the Thunder lose like 6 in a row, which they go through all these up and downs constantly. They end up like 35-34 at one point, and they end up, they're in the 8 seed. Like, the Thunder need to be a top, let's say, 5 seed to have a shot at keeping Paul George and convincing him to stay, because they need to get to at least the second round of the playoffs, probably the third. But if they end up like anywhere 6-8, they're probably screwed long term, because they're going to get, well, they catch the Spurs are maybe our first round beat, but they're going to get rocked by the Warriors or Rockets.
Yeah, the Spurs are interesting, but I don't know what they're going to look like. They've been fine without Kawhi all year, so I think people are really over.
Yeah, no, I trust the infrastructure too much to say they won't make the playoffs.
Yeah, me too. Jonathan Wells at Jonathan Wells 21 asks, Pacers playoff scenarios, best case and worst case matchups for the first round.
Best case scenario, they pull into the 3 seed. They match up against. I guess the best team they could go against is the Bucks, maybe? No, Giannis.
There's not like a perfect first round matchup to me.
No, the Sixers are like scary, but they're just Joel Embiid at this point. I mean, Simmons is good, but he basically seemed to figure him out. He's a rookie, so he's kind of that rookie wall.
Can we dream and say the 3-6 is they played Detroit?
Yeah, but no, they're 0-4 against Detroit.
Yeah, that's true. Man, it's hard.
Yeah.
If they get a realistic like 6 seed, I would like to play Washington in the first round.
Yeah, I would love to be a 4-5 against Washington.
Yeah. I think that they could win a game or two against Boston and Toronto. I think Cleveland, they'd be able to sneak one in, but I think Washington, they could get 2 or 3.
So on Boston, are we just betting on Kyrie just being awesome in the playoffs?
Yeah, and for sure. And Brad Stevens.
Because, I mean, last year they were on the brink of getting knocked out in that first round. Now, that wasn't Kyrie was on that team, but Stevens is like – he's a great coach, but his playoff success is like very limited, and that team is very young, and very young teams don't translate. But young teams don't translate to playoff wins all the time. I mean, last year was a unique year where if Rondo doesn't get hurt, they probably lose that first round. You know, if they play the Pacers in the first round, they might lose that series. Like, there's all a couple of things going the other way. But
yeah. And if Hayward actually returns, that could be interesting too.
I just don't think he will. I mean, we've all seen Paul George when he returned. He just wasn't himself yet. He needs more time. His lay is going to be so tiny because it hasn't worked out in whatever how long. So
worst case is for me a 7-2 matchup with the Cavs again, like last year.
Yeah, or even an 8-1 versus the Raptors. The Raptors are really good. I think
Pacers fans will
beat the Cavs 3 times, but you're still
they're a whole different team now.
Yeah, but the Raptors I think are really good.
They are legit. They're super good.
I think the Raptors are the one that can challenge Cleveland. I know everyone's going to laugh at that one. And some guy on Twitter was talking about it. I'm like, the Raptors are really good this year. Dwayne Casey's coaching them like as good as Stevens is in almost this year. He's been on that level. I mean,
I'm still team avoid LeBron at all costs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you want to win a playoff game, avoid LeBron. But if you want to win a playoff series, you got to avoid LeBron and the Raptors.
Yeah. Those are the two hardest. So that's my – well, obviously the worst is just not making it. But we'll keep an eye on Detroit. We should have, like, a Detroit watch every week too, because they're the only team I feel like is a real threat to knock out the Pacers. That'd be fun.
Yeah, because they own the tiebreaker. It's the worst thing.
They do. Yeah, they do.
Because they've got to get one of these tiebreakers over the 76ers.
Philly's the one. Yeah, they got to get it over Philly.
Then they'll be good. I mean, they could get it over all three, the Wizards, Bucks, and Sixers, and that would be sick because that would mean they could probably clinch themselves close to a four seed as long as they stay.
The right now, I'm missing someone.
Heat. They can't. They lost the Heat 2-1 in the season.
Yeah, damn. Okay. Last question. I don't even want to ask it. What is the realistic chance the Pacers get Paul George back? From @Mac_Quaid.
Well, definitely don't follow that guy. That's a bad question.
He was in my fraternity in college. So.
Oh.
And he also says on a scale of 1 to 10, OQ to my Mac, always a 10.
That explains a lot, by the way.
I don't know what you're meaning by that.
I don't know either. I just wanted to make that joke.
Wow. That very uncool.
I've got a lot of uncool jokes today. I think we've established that.
He's working for the Pacers next year for his full-time job. So congratulations.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Realistic chance the Pacers get Paul George back. I'll go with, let me carry the 1-0%.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a good analogy. Like, what are the chances that I marry, Kate Upton in the next 5 years?
Ooh, if Marina's still listening, you're in trouble.
Yeah, she'll be fine. Actually, I should say more Olivia Munn. Cause that's who I like the best. But, yeah. What are the odds of me doing that? Zero.
Yeah. And they legally can't tell July 3rd. It's not going to happen. So that is the end of our questions. But you have kind of a question. This is a terrible, terrible transition. We wanted to talk about one more thing, and I wanted to do a transition like it was.
Yeah, we're talking about the Hawks game because it's the only game this week.
No, we're not talking about one more thing.
What do we have? What? Oh.
Yeah. Adam would like to know what I think of the getting rid of the conferences for the playoff seating.
Oh, I forgot. I thought you were going to ignore this one. So.
No, it's fine. And you're right. I, like LeBron James, am against it because I like it when 8 Eastern Conference teams are able to make the playoffs because the West is just better and more West teams would make it.
Yeah, I am not in favor of the 1-16 seeds for two reasons. One, because I think it'd be terrible to have teams travel. Like I think right now Boston and Portland are
Supposed to
play each other. That would be terrible for those teams. I mean, that, you know, I know these guys travel in private jets, but the time difference doing that, especially if you're not doing a 2-3-2 format, I mean, that's just miserable. I mean, the Cavs were talking about how miserable that 7-game series was, and they had to switch back and forth. It's hard. It's hard on these players, and it would hurt you for multiple rounds. I mean, you got lucky if you played like Memphis in the, like, say it was like a Memphis somehow in the West made it. That would be like the East would have to play them. Would be so lucky because it's like not traveling anywhere. But traveling from Boston to Portland is terrible. Then the second one is a selfish reason that. As a Pacer fan, and I want to make the NBA Finals because that's – I mean, even if they don't win the championship, getting to the Finals is an accomplishment, and there's no way if it's a 1-16 they're ever getting to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, the West is so stacked. It's just crazy. Like, the 10th seed in the West is in the East right now, I believe. You have the standings up in front of you, don't you?
I do. So the 8th seed in the West is
– So the 10th seed in the West is the 30-28 Utah Jazz, and the 8th seed in the East is the 30-28 Miami Heat. So yeah. – Yeah.
But also, how do you make it fair? Because the East is probably worse, and then you get to play more worse teams.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how you make it fair. And honestly, if they want to figure out competitive imbalance, they've got to figure out a way to get star players to stay where they are. But that's beside the point. I mean, like, the reason the West is better is
because – get rid of max contracts. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I'd say the reason the West is better is because it probably has a couple more destination cities. I mean, people want to go to Rockets, the Warriors – you know, I guess the Thunder aren't really one, but like both LA plays their destination versus like in the East, the Knicks would be, but there's just a dumpster fire of franchise and no one's go there. I mean, there's not like that marquee city besides New York in the East that players like say, I want to go there. Miami might be the one, but
there's only three like totally small market teams in the West. I'd say Memphis, Sacramento, and New Orleans. Everyone else is like medium, small, or big.
Or Oklahoma.
Well, we haven't seen what they do without a star yet. I'm not comfortable saying that.
Okay. That's fair. And one of its smaller ones, the Spurs, is like has this infrastructure that's off the charts, so people want to go there anyways.
Yeah, and then in the East, you have Indiana, who's smaller, Charlotte's smaller, Atlanta's smaller, Orlando's smaller. Yeah.
Charlotte small, Milwaukee small. I mean, you Cleveland is small.
Washington, oh, Cleveland's really small without LeBron. Yeah, so there's just more smaller market teams. It's harder for them to get free agents. Yeah, that's why like the team like the Pistons trades a lot for Blake Griffin because like Blake Griffin doesn't meet with the Pistons. He meets with high profile teams. So, yeah, I am against the 1-16.
You know what's crazy? I can think about right now. This is sort of like indicative of American, where like America, where like the Midwest is just like kind of not as popular as the coasts, and there's a lot more better places you want to be on the coastal teams, at least when you think about it, compared to the mid and the East got all the Midwest teams. So maybe the best way to fix this is just to add in two expansion teams and then move two teams from the West to the East. I mean, you can move Memphis and New Orleans to the East, and it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
I think you'd have to do like I forgot Minnesota on the small markets list for the West, but you'd have to get two big market teams in the East. You'd have to send like Houston and Dallas or something.
Oh, you could do that. That would kind of work.
Yeah, those are the only two I could think of quickly. Why is Memphis in the Western Conference?
I mean, New Orleans used to be in the East too until the Bobcats. I remember early 04, 05, whatever that year that Chris Paul first team was in the East.
Yeah. Oh, and the year they played in Oklahoma City, they were in the East too.
Yeah, and they got screwed because Chris Paul was in the East his entire career. He'd been in the NBA Finals at least two times.
That's true. All right. Let's take a quick break and then talk some Atlanta Hawks. All right. We are back to talk about who I will call the most boring team to talk about in the entire league.
Ooh, that's a close one.
I don't know. I can't think of a more boring team. Like, who's the most exciting guy on this team? John Collins?
Sacramento.
Okay, that's true. But I love George Hill, but he's not there anymore. Dang,
not there anymore. So there's no.
Dang, yeah, that's a bad one.
I mean, Atlanta's got your favorite Eastern coach, right? Mike Budenholzer.
I love that Mike Budenholzer quite a bit. He's a good coach.
Yeah.
But the Hawks, the Pacers have beaten them already in Atlanta on the post Bojan flumble pass experience. I forget the score of that game. I should have had it up. Sorry, but they are currently 15th in pace. 22nd on offense, 25th in defense, 18-41, which puts them one half game behind the first spot in the lottery. The Hawks kind of stink.
Yeah, they are not a good team. They are probably going to end up with, what do we think, the first overall pick, honestly?
Top three in the lottery for sure.
So let's see. They're going to end up with a combination of like DeAndre Ayton or Trae Young or that guy Don from Europe.
Kitchen.
Bagley.
Yeah, Bagley. They're going to get their options, that's for sure.
Yeah, and they're going to be able to put him next to nobody, basically.
Who was second on the Hawks in minutes the last time these two teams played?
The last time they played? Oh, God. I mean, so Schroeder was one, obviously.
Yep. Yeah.
So was it Bazemore, maybe?
Torian Prince.
Okay. He's still number two on there.
They play a bunch of guys that you probably never heard of. Marco Bellinelli played 23 minutes. No longer on their team. Luke Babbitt played 9 minutes, no longer on their team. So expect a lot of guys like DeAndre Bembry and Malcolm Delaney and Isaiah Taylor off the bench for Atlanta. They have a lot of guys that you've never heard of. Their starters, you know, the Bazemore's okay and Schroeder's okay and Deadman's okay if he plays. And Ilyasova can take a charge, but they are not a talented roster. And I it's like hard to find a starting point.
So I have a starting point.
Okay.
So this is more because I'm a Syracuse student. Off the bench, last game they played on Wednesday against the Pistons, they played Andrew White III, former Syracuse grad, transfer last year, was on part of their team. White had 15 points, had a really solid night, and might have actually earned himself a spot on their team for at least the rest of the season.
Is he on a 10-day or something?
I think he was called up from the G League.
Oh, that's cool. I did not know that. Well, I'll be on the lookout for an Andrew White.
He's mainly just a knockdown three-point shooter, and I couldn't really do anything else at Syracuse, so I don't know how he fits in the NBA because he's not super tall either. He's probably like 6'3", 6'4". Oh, he's listed at 6'7", but doesn't feel 6'7". But he's like a shooting guard, small forward type, but it's just a really knockdown shooter.
Man, this box score is bizarre. Alex Poitras played last time these two teams played. That's rare. He never plays.
Especially that early because that was before he got signed on the team,
yeah,
right?
Was. Yeah, it was. That was December 20th. That was right before he got signed.
Right, he got signed after that game, or was it after the Pistons game?
He got signed after a Nets game, I thought.
No, it was the Pistons. Yeah, maybe it was a Nets game, and then they played the Pistons the next night.
He was a minus 10 in 2 minutes. It was clearly garbage time, but
you know what's also crazy? They play the Hawks three times in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yes, and I will be at both of the home ones. But anyway.
Wow, what a great ticket.
I'm excited. I'm really excited to be at both of them.
You better have some good questions to ask just nominated to the game.
I just want to see Glenn Robinson. So
all right, but you get some good details and just like stuff. It's like the perfect time if you're running a story that you're thinking has really nothing to do with what's going on right now, just like a big picture story, to just start asking during the press conference, because nobody they beat the Hawks by 20 both times. Nobody cares what happens in the game.
I know. So anyway, focusing on the Hawks, their 25th rated defense is their biggest reason for demise. Outside of Bazemore, Prince is learning, but outside of Bazemore, they don't really have any plus defenders in the roster. So, you know, Oladipo shot above 50% last time they played. Turner shot the ball 13 times and had 20 points. You know, it's going to be easy for the Pacers to score.
Yeah, they had no trouble scoring last time. Bojan finally made some kind of like...
Are you getting arrested in the studio?
No, that was just a siren. The studios are near a hospital. Syracuse is, if you didn't know, surrounded by three hospitals for some reason. But sorry for that. But Bojan had a nice little game last time, and so did Turner. So maybe it's kind of game where Vic doesn't have 30 because he doesn't shoot the ball more than, like, you know, shot at 15 times last time. You know, the type of games where they win by 20 and everybody scores and Vic shoots like 12 shots, that kind of feels like this type of game.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of, you know, cutting, this could be a perfect game for Robinson to come back, because like cutting and ball movement's going to be there, you know, especially if they try to shut down Oladipo, which I'm sure they will. There's going to be a lot of open looks, I think, for your Indiana Pacers in this one. And I think Thaddeus Young is going to shoot more than he did last time. So I'm a little excited for this one. I think it's a perfect team to play right after the All-Star break.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's like a nice, good way to ease yourself back from the All-Star break, especially the way they play the first three games against the Hawks, Mavs, and Hawks again. It's a nice just like, all right, we're going to kind of walk our way back into the season, and then you got a really tough schedule after that. So it's good for this team, because if they can pull off three in a row, they'll probably push themselves to the four seed.
March is going to be crazy for both us as podcast people and the team. They play every other day from the 3rd to like the 27th or something.
So I think they play the 4th, 5th, and every day to the 29th.
Yeah, we're going to be all over these recaps and previews for a month.
Yeah, that stupid Pelicans game being
rescheduled. No, that was our break. That was my spring break too.
But it helped them beat Boston probably. So that's probably a win in the long term. But
yeah, that's true.
Screwed up where they had like 4 days off.
Well, and it works because they still get a break before both games. But yeah, it does stink. Poor Pelicans back to back to back. It's going to be brutal.
Yeah, that might be a reason they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah. My butcher, if I have to pick one, is the guy who played well last time, Kent Bazemore. He only had 13 points, but 5 of 7 from the field, 3 of 4 from deep. Was only a minus 6. Everyone else pretty much was substantially worse than that. So I'll give Bazemore the benefit of the doubt. He's a good shooter. He's a pretty good defender. He might be able to slow down Oladipo a little bit, but not too much. And if he's open, he's going to make a shot. So he's my butcher.
Yeah, mine's probably Dennis Schroeder.
It's the only other guy you can pick.
Yeah, he's the only guy I can pick. X-Factor-wise, though, I actually think Corey Joseph will be pretty important in this game. He's starting over Collison, who... Gosh,
that's a big difference from the first time.
Yeah, that is a big difference. I mean, I think it's...
No, Joseph played more minutes than Collison.
Yeah, and I don't think it's as big of a drop-off against a team like this. I mean, I think against some of the better teams, they'll be important, but right now, it's the Hawks for the Hawks. I mean, they're just not a good team. They are... I imagine they're trying to go 0-24.
The rest of the way.
The rest of the way, my guess.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, you might see that Andrew White fellow in this game.
You guys
you don't know very well.
And I'll smile and be happy when he knocks down a couple threes when they're losing by 30 points. It'll be great.
It will be. But yeah, the key for me is going to be just if you just keep your turnovers down, you're going to beat the Hawks because, like, possession against possession, they're just better. So hit the glass, you know, keep Dedmon off of it, and then don't turn the ball over and you'll win.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to go with the score. I've already said a few times. I think they end up winning like 115-95. Last time it was more competitive than it should have been because they didn't really play that great of defense. Oh, but
fourth quarter was crazy bad, wasn't it? Weren't they killing them?
I thought it was just close the entire time.
Never mind, it was. You were right.
It just wasn't that great. But this time I think they'll take care of business. They seem excited to be back. If you watch some of the videos of practice, I think it was on Wednesday, they seem really excited.
They were curling,
to be back.
Yeah.
That was fun. I think these guys really genuinely like each other, and I think they missed not being around each other for over a week. You know, they all had their fun. Vic went to LA, Spub went to LA, Turner went to LA. I'm sure some of the guys went home and went on vacation, but now they're ready to get back and make a real push because now that the media has hyped up the fact that six guys approached Pritchard, it's like now they have to deliver. If they don't make the playoffs now, they just make Pritchard look terrible.
Exactly. And I think they'll be fine, but I don't know. Again, Pistons watch. So Yeah, I don't have a ton to say in this game. I think they should win convincingly, and that will make me confident that they can at least do okay in this tough second half.
So what's your score for the game?
Oh, sorry. 111-90.
Okay. My other question was, do you think it's possible they can win 17 of these last 24 at all?
No, not a chance.
If you had to give it a percent, give me the percent.
17?
Of the last 24 games.
10 or to 5, low.
Okay, I had about 10 to 15% of my
game.
I thought it would depend.
That's 50, right? That's to get 50?
Yeah, I was thinking if the Warriors somehow clinch something or just don't care, they could steal one of those games. That would be huge.
Yeah, and if the Hornets struggle, they'll be playing a tanking Hornets team twice in their last three games.
Yeah, do the Hornets own their pick this year?
They do, yeah.
So that could be, you know, the Hornets could be packing it in.
Yeah.
You know, all it takes is one little
down with a suspicious injury.
Yeah, like one little ankle turn by Kemba, and he might not play the rest of the season.
The rest, yeah.
Because he's going to be traded in the offseason, right? We can agree on that.
Right. Well, with a new GM, they could change a lot for them.
I'm telling you, the Pacers are going to be a great destination for him come June.
Yeah. You got anything else for this one? I love these 1 week previews with only one team. That was easy.
Yeah. The only thing I got to say is obviously we've done our fun of All-Star break, but we'll get back into action. We'll obviously be doing podcasts probably every day next week again. There's a ton of games coming up. Like I said, they play a ton over the next like 5 weeks. So yeah, we're back doing our normal stuff.
Sorry for the regular schedule last week.
Yeah. We just went a couple of days off. But keep listening, keep tweeting at us. We'll probably do another mailbag eventually at some point when we find a little time to do it. Like answering you guys' questions, because it's honestly it's fun. I find it fun. Some of them are a little not great, but most of them are good. I mean, there were some really good two-parters. There's some really good two-parter ones that were interesting and led to some good conversations.
We wanted the personal life questions and we got them.
Yeah, we got a couple. It was good. I got to make fun of Tony not having a girlfriend, and it was really funny.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Now Tony's going to yell at me after the podcast. You just got to yell at me after the podcast.
If I could fire you, I wouldn't, but I want to.
Too bad I'm technically your boss.
Hey. Shh. You're right. You are.
Technically, we're not. We both run this together, I would say. But technically.
You're subordinate.
No. I'm younger than you, but I'm your boss.
I don't like these constraints that have been put on me.
That's a little insider thing for everybody out there so they know who is the real person in charge. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm being this way.
I'm cease and desisting.
Tony and I will be back on Monday to do a show again. And we promise we won't be terrible. We want to give our announcement.
Oh, my gosh. We forgot again. Wow. Yes. We will be on Dash Radio. So Dash Radio is a 24-hour sports news station. And I think this one's basketball only, right? It's called Nothing But Net.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are on the basketball only 24-hour radio channel for Dash Radio. It's going to be really cool. Every Tuesday, I think it's from 3 to 4 or from 5 to 6.
So it's 5 to 6 Central Time, which is 7 to 8 Eastern Time, which is also, flip it back, it is 4 to 5 Pacific Time. Or shocker, 4 to 5 Mountain Time. So hey, for our all the way across the nation people, if you're on another time zone, I appreciate you listening to this podcast. It's great, but I can't do the math in my head for you guys.
So we will have episodes on there introducing – talking more Pacers, and we'll introduce the episode next time. So those of you that listen, you can skip the first 3 minutes. But it'll be really cool to be on a radio show. You should always check out Dash Radio. They have tons of other basketball content besides us that you can listen to. Locked On Bulls is also on there. I've seen a lot of the other shows. They have some good hosts. So it'll be really cool, and we're excited to do it.
Yeah, I'm excited, and I think it'll be a good promotion for us. Hopefully it'll help boost our audience a little bit too. We'll help get us into more people's earbuds, I guess is how it is. But most of the time, the podcast on that will be something we have done as part of on our Locked On podcast feed. So you'll be able to find it in both spots. But
we haven't decided how we're doing it. It might be an unreleased episode sometime.
Yeah, we might do some little special content for them just to see if we can – what our ratings are like and stuff like that. But we're excited to do it. It helps add some legitimacy to our podcast and helps boost the Locked On Pacers brand.
We are a brand after all.
Yeah, we'll have to make t-shirts
eventually. My newspaper article was called Locked On Pacers. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been told we need to make stickers or make t-shirts at some point.
Stickers?
Well, you know, like in college, the big thing is put stickers on your laptop. And one of my roommates.
Goodyear blimp? You know the Goodyear blimp? We had a Locked On Pacers blimp.
All right, that's too expensive. But my roommate is the president of the geography club at Syracuse. And so his group made stickers. And I got one on my laptop. And it's a really cool sticker. And he's like, we got to make one for Locked On Pacers now. I'm like, well. We'll see. We don't have Syracuse funding like you, but maybe someday.
Oh man, Adam, you're the boss, as you've stated, but I'm against the stickers.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm not going to fight
like
myself.
Shirts. I'm over the shirts.
That's fine. We'll figure something out. But I am maybe the boss of the show, but you're hosting today's show, so you get to finish it out.
Today's show. Thanks for listening. If you check out Dash Radio, let us know or intrigued by how that's going to go. We'll be back Monday to recap this game and preview next week's game. So another more Hawks Talk with who. Adam is at Friedman Adam 5. Had a cool article about things you should know about the Pacers for the stretch run. I will have a TJ Leaf piece out. You can find it on 8.9 seconds, or I'll tweet it out at TEastNBA. We are at Locked On Pacers on Twitter for this podcast. Close to 350. Every time I say that, we get a bunch of followers. So please, if you aren't, please follow us. We'd like to make it. That is all. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday. Thanks for listening. Leave us a rating on iTunes, all that good stuff. Goodbye, guys.